The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning Glory America, Bonjour High, Canada, Hugh Hewitt live inside the Beltway. I am so glad you can join me this morning. I hope you are up and around and having a great good morning to you. Overnight, Democrats and Republicans agreed to punt the debt ceiling to December. Neither Chuck Schumer nor Mitch McConnell have given up an inch, but they both agreed. Let's let the dust settle on however much Democrats among themselves agree to put the country in the hole more, and then we'll come back and talk about the debt limit in December. So a successful punt by both teams leaves the markets relieved. Let me do the market update early as a result of this. This is brought to you, of course, by Birch Gold. If you're going to buy gold because you can't trust these bozos in Congress, especially on the Democratic side, to listen to the smart guys like McConnell, then you need to own a lot more gold than you currently own. And you get it from Birch Gold. Go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Gold is at $17.59 an ounce today. Overseas, they're all clapping and jumping up and down that the United States isn't going to default. That's a trader trick. The United States is never going to default. But England is up almost 1%. Germany is up 1.25%. France is up 1.25%. Yesterday, the markets kind of figured it out that the United States was not going to default, and the Dow went up 102 points, the S&P went up 17, the NASDAQ went up 68, Amazon went up $40 a share yesterday. It's going to do the same again today, it appears. It looks like, you know, a punt sometimes satisfies both teams. In the Vikings-Browns game, and I bring this up especially for the benefit of my AM 1280, the Answer fans in the Twin Cities, the Browns loved punting in the second half because they were ahead 11-7 and then 14-7. They didn't mind punting, provided that the Vikings didn't score. And I don't know that the Vikings will score again this year, but I digress. So there is this agreement. Meanwhile, an Obama judge in Texas enjoined the Texas abortion law. Name is Judge Pittman. And, of course, they shopped around. He's in Austin, and they found an Obama judge to take it before, and he enjoined it, another nationwide injunction. Look, the Supreme Court's got to decide this, and the Supreme Court is going to decide this, and I believe the Supreme Court will, by a 6-3 ruling, overturn Roe v. Wade, overturn Casey v. Planned Parenthood, and write a new set of rules which basically says state legislatures can write any law they want, provided that abortions are available in those cases where the health of a mother is indeed at risk. They may also require the abortion and incest exceptions in their ruling as being beyond arbitrary and capricious and therefore violating a reasonability clause. That seems to be the modern take. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's where the Chief Justice leads at least six of his colleagues, including himself, to a decision early next year. It shouldn't take them that long. They've been thinking about the abortion cases for 50 years since it went wrong in 1973 with Roe v. Wade. Alliance Defending Freedom will be there. I am very proud of this audience, but we can do more. We raised $20,000 in the first week in hundreds and 500s for our ADF, and I'm very, very proud of that. But the Alliance Defending Freedom needs a lot more, and they need some big checks and a lot more small checks. People who can't otherwise afford, people who go to church every week and know that religious liberty allows them to do so, and they put their $5 or $10 in the basket if they're Catholic, or they go online if they're a high-tech, you know, Protestant. No matter who you are, if you're a Sabbath-keeping Jew, you're a Seventh-day Adventist, whether you are a Mormon or a Baptist, whether you are a Buddhist or a Hindu or an atheist who believes in religious liberty because you're Jefferson-like, you still ought to be supporting Alliance Defending Freedom. And you ought to be doing it today over at HughHewitt.com. Just let it load at the very top, and you will see what you need to do. Now let me do the rundown. And I appreciate it, by the way. We need Alliance Defending Freedom there every single day. Yesterday, I wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post. Is it time for Anthony Fauci to step aside? Wow. Boy, did the left go nuts. Now, I, you know, as I say to my editor over there, the fact that there are 1,600 comments does not faze me. Comments are like callers. You only worry about them when they're not there. But a couple of high-profile left progs, I've never heard of these people, but they've got a 500,000 followers. They took out after me, and they want me to resign, even though I'm not giving advice to the country and telling noble lies or getting things wrong on CBS about Christmas. Anthony Fauci and I had a perfectly fine conversation, one of many last week, but I think, like Dr. Collins, his useful life as a leader of public health is over. And I explained why in the Washington Post, and the left went nuts. And do you know why? It's got nothing to do with Dr. Fauci. It's got to do with their perception that Fauci is anti-Trump. And therefore, to be pro-Fauci is to be pro-anti-Trump. And to be anti-Fauci is to be anti-anti-Trump. It's all very bizarre in the world where everything is about Trump. Trump exerts this extraordinary gravitational pull on a lot of people on the left and some people on the right, where everything comes down to Trump, not Trump. In fact, there's a story in today's Washington Post about the Ohio Senate race. And I'll be moderating a debate. I know all the Ohio senators would be senators. I know them all. I like them all. And I'm trusted by them all to do a fair debate. So I'll be going to Ohio at the end of the month to moderate a debate among the six would-be Republicans. But here's the story in the Wall Street Journal this morning. How tight is Trump's grip on the GOP? Take a look at the Ohio Senate primary. Five candidates offer slight variations on Trumpism in a contest that will test the ex-president's popularity. Well, there are six candidates to begin with, and one of them, Matt Dolan, isn't Trumpist at all. He's sort of like Rob Portman. And five of them are varying degrees of alignment with former President Trump. And some of them are if they're Trumpist, it's pretty hard to tell. But some of them are very Trumpy, Josh Mandel, and others are less so. And by Trumpy, I mean populist in their appeal. And there aren't any supporters of January 6th running around, but the president himself didn't support the resistance, the insurrection that flooded the Congress and is now being rightfully prosecuted. But it's a convenient lens that the mainstream media likes to use, so they use it. The WHO endorsed the first ever malaria vaccine. That's great news for the people in Africa, especially the children who suffer and die from malaria by the hundreds of thousands every year. The White House announced a $1 billion purchase of rapid at-home coronavirus tests. Not sure that's going to do anything to change the course of the virus. I really don't. I don't think that's going to do anything to change the course of the virus. Chinese jets menace Taiwan, pressuring U.S. support of the island's defenses. The Quad needs to step up and start adding assistance to Taiwan. Now, Taiwan is not part of the Quad. The Quad is the U.S., Australia, India, and Japan, the four island Pacific nations that have a great deal of interest in cabining the People's Republic of China and stopping their attempt to intimidate the island state of Taiwan. They flew a record number of jets into the defenses yesterday. Very fascinating story at the Wall Street Journal on a secret CIA escape gate at Kabul Airport. If we had stayed longer, more people would have gotten out. Joe Biden left them there. Joe Biden lied to you, by the way, about how many Americans were left behind, citizens. Amazon wins record U.S. tax breaks to expand delivery network in the Financial Times. I hope so. If they bring jobs to a community ought to rebate to them the local and state taxes. I'm a shareholder. If they're not out there maximizing shareholder return, they're not doing their job. They're doing their job. Also from the Wall Street Journal, coal shortages. Coal. You know, the stuff we're not supposed to like. Coal shortages are pushing up prices and weighing on economies all across the world. The trial is coming to a conclusion on the Varsity Blues matter, where people paid to play. They paid a guidance counselor in L.A. to pretend that their kids were varsity athletes to get them into Stanford, USC, and other places. And the question is, did the bribers know they were bribing? I don't think the jury's going to have a hard time figuring out that when your kid's getting admitted to Stanford as a water polo player, and he or she is not either in the water polo world or playing summer water polo or a stud, something weird's going on. New Zealand is raising its interest rates in a precursor to everyone else in the West raising their interest rates, which is why, by the way, you got to go to Birch Gold, because gold and interest rates are going to go up. HughGold.com, HughGold.com. New Zealand raising its rate. Big story in the Financial Times on the souring of the UK-France relationship. It's across the board. It's deep. It's enduring. But the French will return to the Brits when they need them. Diplomacy is the best path to thwart Iran nukes. Jake Sullivan, the, I think, very good national security advisor to President Biden, has told the Israelis, we'll talk to Michael Oren about that today. We'll also talk to him about Iran's armed drone prowess, subject of a Wall Street Journal story today. And China's ability to launch an attack on Taiwan, which is growing by leaps and bounds. Don't go anywhere, America. You're listening to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined from Israel by Dr. Michael Oren. Follow Dr. Oren at Dr. Michael Oren on Twitter. He's, of course, the former Israeli ambassador to the United States, former deputy minister. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I am good, Hugh. Good to be back with you, as always.
Thank you. Yesterday, Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor to the president, who is your friend, I don't know him, but Robert O'Brien speaks very highly of him, met with National Security Council Chairman Eyal Hulata, who I do not know and have not heard of before, as the U.S.-Israel Strategic Consulting Group, an interagency bilateral forum, met to discuss Iran. What do you think they talked about, and do you think actually that this group of American presidents and advisors would ever strike against Iran in a meaningful way alongside of Israel?
Well, let me couch it as hope, okay? I don't know what they talked about. I hope they talked about that Jake Sullivan, yes, I have a very high opinion of Jake Sullivan, told his Israeli counterparts that the United States intends to go back into talks with Iran. And maybe they're optimistic about getting the JCPOA renewed, and in which case the United States is going to do X, Y, and Z to enhance Israel security, which means understandings, that the United States understands that if Iran violates the agreement, if Iran starts moving ahead to enrich uranium or create a warhead or to put that warhead on top of a ballistic missile, the United States would consider that a violation and will act accordingly, either by itself or by supporting Israeli activity. But also capabilities. United States has military capabilities that Israel does not have. I don't want to surprise anybody. Israel does not have strategic bombers. And the United States could lend, lease, sell some of these capabilities to Israel and send, I think, a very profound message to Iran, you know, don't mess with us.
Now, Michael, there's also a story in the Wall Street Journal. Iran's armed drone prowess reshapes security in the Middle East. Tehran uses off-the-shelf components to build armed drones used in attacks that challenge the U.S. and its allies in the Middle East. They cite the attacks from Gaza on Israel during the recent war. They cite the attacks on the Saudi Arabian oil field. And they cite the growing evidence that the drones are bigger, faster, stronger, and more deadly. Against this kind of attack, you need an iron dome, but you also need some very aggressive forward defense. I don't know that this team is capable in the United States of anticipating that kind of forward defense.
Well, the drones are not right now a threat to the United States. Maybe a threat to some United States forces in the Middle East, but not certainly the mainland. It's a threat to Israel mainland because we have, as you mentioned, Iranian proxies on our borders, both to the north and the south, and to the and east and pretty much the west, pretty much surrounded by Iranian proxies, and they will have these drones. They've used the drones already. So, yes, we have Iron Dome to shoot them down. We're also a world leader in the development of concentrated energy, i.e. lasers, which have been proven effectively recently in a test in taking down drone aircraft. So we're going to have to address this.
I didn't know that. Stop and tell me about that. I didn't know that Israel led in concentrated energy. Do you see beams going up in the sky at night? You have no idea what they're doing?
No, but it's already actually been in the paper here, so I'm not revealing any secrets. But this is a system operated actually from aircraft in the air that can spot a drone and take them out.
How great! Are you going to share that with us?
Yeah, I'm sure maybe we'll be working on it with you.
I hope you're called phasers. Are they called phasers? Because you're a star. You're the right era to have grown up with Star Trek in the United States. We need phasers, right?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the flying automobiles, but I'm still waiting for the Jetsons. But no, but I think that eventually projectiles, as we know them, will be phased out. They'll be looked upon in the future as like bows and arrows, and lasers will replace. I know of projects that are taking place in Israel that were developed in parallel with the Iron Dome system that were based on lasers.
So it's conceivable there will be a day when the rocket takes off and it gets about 6 inches off the platform or whatever launcher it's got, wherever it is in southern Lebanon, and it's destroyed.
Yes, and then the enemy will figure out some way around that, too.
That is true, but that kind of technology, when it arrives, you don't get much faster than the speed of light, right?
You don't, and we always have to stay one or two technological steps ahead of our enemy. And that's what Iron Dome did.
This is a bigger question, Michael Oren, about Iran. Do they have the industrial scientific base to match an arms race? China does, and they might give it to Iran. But what about Iran standing alone? Do they have this kind of – it's a very smart country.
And a very smart country. They have a very robust arms industry and developing of arms, but they can't keep pace with that. Iran doesn't have an air force. I mean, this notion that if the United States acts against Iran, Iran's going to make war against the United States is ridiculous. Iran doesn't have tank formations. How are they going to make war against the United States? There was an article by Tom Friedman in the paper this week, which I know you're going to find funny, but had us all laughing here. Because it said that, if the United States doesn't reach a renewed JCPOA, Iran could block the Straits of Hormuz and stop oil shipments to Europe, which is already energy starved for the winter. I don't know if you saw this article.
I never read Thomas Friedman. Now I got to go. That's a chuckle. I get a chuckle already.
I say why it's chuckable. America has no agency. America has the two largest naval forces in human history just off the coast of Iran. If one of their missile boats tried to block the Strait of Hormuz, blow it out of the water.
I guess Thomas Friedman has never heard of the carriers, huh? All right, well, I'll go read that during the break. You've made my day, Michael Oren. I really don't read Thomas Friedman. Because I'm interested in reading new things, but I'll go look it up. Thank you, Dr. Michael Oren. Follow him on Twitter, Dr. Michael Oren. Always good to talk to him. Follow me to hour two of the Thursday edition. From Inside the Beltway Live, it's the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home. Or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Over the 21 years of this radio show, it's been my honor to meet many Gold Star family members. Mark Daly, who grew up in Irvine, his mom and dad became friends of mine. He was lost in Iraq and Mosul, I think, in 2006. J.P. Blecksmith, who grew up in Pasadena. I know his dad, Ed Blecksmith, was lost in Iraq in Fallujah, in the Second Battle of Fallujah. And I keep his badge on my desk in the studio in California. I'm joined now by Jane Horton, who is a Gold Star spouse, as was Michelle Black yesterday, who's written the new book, Sacrifice. Jane Horton is working around the clock with Joni Ernst, Senator Ernst from Iowa, to get a memorial on the Mall for those who have given the ultimate sacrifice in the long war, the war against global terrorism. And I welcome you both. Jane Horton, welcome. You're also our liaison with the Afghan ambassador, so you know Ambassador Roz as well, but we'll cover that in a moment. Will you first bring us up to speed on where the memorial is that needs to get built on the Mall quickly?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on today. It's an honor to be on with one of my personal heroes, Senator Joni Ernst. So we're very grateful for her leading the way to honor those who have fought, bled, and died in the global war on terrorism.
She is terrific. Yeah.
So we have been fighting pretty hard as Gold Star families to ensure that our loved ones are being honored in the proper way that they should, with a memorial on the National Mall. There's currently legislation in the United States Senate, Senate Bill 535, that we are pushing very hard to get as many co-sponsors as we can to allow us to build this memorial on the National Mall. So back in 2003, Congress had passed a law that said nothing else is allowed on the National Mall. They did that because they didn't want people to continue to keep asking to put little things here and there on the National Mall, but they knew that there could be exceptions for big things like the Global War on Terrorism Memorial or a major war memorial, and Congress has made exceptions before. They made an exception for the African American Smithsonian, so we are hoping that we can also get an exception after our longest war of an all-volunteer force over the past 20 years. And so we are fighting very, very hard to get as many people on board as we can, as many senators, as many co-sponsors, so we can give, again, those who have fought, bled, and died for us the honor they deserve. So we've hit some roadblocks, but we're continuing to push very hard. We're starting to gain a lot of momentum. Senator Ernst has been very strategically bringing this bill as well to the Senate floor about. She's done it twice now for unanimous consent vote. So we are hoping that it'll either pass that way, it'll pass in the National Defense Authorization Act this year, or it'll just pass as a standalone bill. So as many people as we can get behind us, we are grateful for.
Jane Horton, let me turn to your hero, Joni Ernst. She's a good friend of the program, and we respect her greatly. Senator Ernst, I want Mark Daley's name, J.P. Blecksmith's name, and every other warrior, including Brian Black, who died in the global war on terrorism in Africa, memorialized in the wall. And this is going to go on for a while. If you need unanimous consent, who in the world objected to this?
Well, and thank you, Hugh. And it is great to be on with Jane Horton. She is a dear friend, a true patriot, and we'll continue fighting this battle to get this memorial built. But I have taken this bill to the floor twice now, and it has been blocked by Senator Joe Manchin. He is the chair of the committee that this bill needs to pass through. So we continue to encourage Senator Manchin and his staff to bring the bill up in committee. Just allow the senators to vote on it in committee. And if that won't happen, we will continue to do the live unanimous consents down on the floor. And I know that's a bit wonky for folks out there, but basically we're trying to get this bill passed any way that we can. It is so important that we get this memorial done. It's 100% privately funded. Its rightful place is on the National Mall. So it is a bipartisan bill. I want folks to know that too. Senator Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire is my co-sponsor on this. And we just really want to memorialize and recognize all those that have fought and those that have died, just like Jane's husband, Christopher, did in the global war on terror. It is extremely important, I think, especially now when we have an era of veteran that needs healing. They need a place to commemorate their service and sacrifice. The time to do it is right now.
Senator Ernst, can I ask which committee it is and what senator? I'm kind of stunned by that, but we do cover, this show covers West Virginia, including those who commute into the Beltway, but also Wheeling and the rest of the state. Can you tell me what committee it is that the bill is bottled up in and why Senator Manchin is adamant or the staff of the committee is adamant against its getting a vote?
And it is the Natural Resources Committee. They oversee the Park Service. And, of course, this does go through a subcommittee. We have had a hearing through the subcommittee that is chaired by Angus King. He did a wonderful job, allowed myself and other veterans to come in. It is a bipartisan bill in the House as well. We were able to speak in favor of the memorial. Of course, it was just a hearing. It wasn't a bill markup. And that's what we need Joe Manchin to do in his committee, is actually bring the bill up to be voted on in committee. And again, I can't stress enough, this is bipartisan. There are so many people in the Senate that recognize the global war on terrorism. Although President Biden has turned the page and wishes us to forget Afghanistan, we are not going to do that. And there are veterans that can't do that. They need healing. We all need a place to commemorate these warriors, those that supported our warriors. And we've had six former secretaries of defense. They wrote an op-ed piece not long ago in the Washington Post, and they all said, regardless of whether they worked for a Republican president or a Democrat president, they said this is rightfully deserving of a place of prominence on our National Mall. You know, as Jane pointed out, it was an all-volunteer force that fought in our nation's longest war, and they deserve to be honored.
Jane Horton, I note in the background I did on you that you are the congressional military liaison for the Embassy of Afghanistan. So I assume your husband was lost in Afghanistan. Would you tell me what your reaction was to the collapse of the Afghan evacuation effort? There's a new story on a secret gate run by the CIA. We could have stayed there a lot longer and saved a lot more people. But Joe Biden wanted to close the door, and I wonder if that desire to close the door is also blocking this bill, which I'll bet 95% plus of Americans of both parties or no party at all support.
Yes, sir. I've done extensive work in Afghanistan. It's definitely where I've invested my entire heart since I lost my husband back on September 9, 2011. The beautiful Afghan people and the culture gave me pieces of my heart that I never thought I'd get back. And so it's been incredibly painful for me to watch what's happened in Afghanistan. It's been incredibly painful to watch throughout the past 10 years since I lost my husband, just the apathy in many ways of the American people towards the wars that are all volunteer forces has been fighting. I know people do care deeply about our troops and they care deeply about Gold Star families, but I wish that, you know, we've seen it shouldn't have to take an evacuation like this for the 99% of Americans to pay attention to the 1% that have been serving for the past 20 years in Afghanistan. So my wish on the whole thing is that next time, if America has to go to war, that our country goes with us and that they continue to engage in the political process and just stay informed on where our troops are going. Because as we know, as Americans, our troops don't have any choices in the policies for the wars that they are fighting.
Senator Joni, let me ask Senator Ernst a question here, Jane Horton, which is, what is the most effective thing for people to do? My friend John Androzic has been out playing Blood on My Hands, and Afghan veterans show up at all of those shows. I was at one at the Birchmere in Alexandria when he played not long ago, and Afghan veterans were there. They follow him. They want a memorial. They want to be helpful to the Afghan people in exile. They want, what is the most effective thing for listeners of the show to do, both about the memorial and generally about the Afghan exodus?
Yes, John. I tell you what, Hugh, John has been doing a phenomenal job as Five for Fighting out there promoting, of course, reconciliation, but also pointing out the failures of an administration as we withdrew from Afghanistan. I have listened to Blood on My Hands many, many times. And folks, you know, I encourage people to listen to it. And it is a song for our veterans, hopefully to bring them a little bit of solace in that people recognize what has gone on in this failure to draw down peacefully the war in Afghanistan. It didn't happen the way it should have. But the best way for folks to engage for the memorial is to reach out to their members of Congress and encourage support. It is important. The more of their constituents they hear from, the more those senators are likely to react. Encourage them to speak with Senator Hassan and I about the importance of this bill. Folks like Jane are doing God's work through grassroots work. They are reaching out to the Gold Star families, the different veterans organizations, to members in their community, and we're seeing it work. Folks like John Ondrasik are, of course, out there promoting it. Jane's friend Milo Ventimiglia is out there promoting it. It is so important that we gain as much traction through that grassroots as possible. I'm just honored to have been able to meet so many of our Gold Star families, to share with them in their memories of their loved ones. Jane has become such a dear friend, and her promotion work. She is such a powerful advocate. So again, folks, you know, spread the word. Share John Ondrasik's song out there, Blood on My Hands. I think it brings attention to the healing that our nation needs in such difficult times. So the global war on terror, you know, it may be over for this administration, but I haven't heard the terrorists acknowledge that the war is over against America for them. We know that we will continue fighting terrorism on into our future. What we need to do now is recognize those that fought in the global war on terror.
The memorial needs to be built. It needs to leave space on it for those who will lay down their lives willingly in the all-volunteer force. And I want to say thank you to Jane Horton, an honor to talk with you, and to Senator Joni Ernst. At a minimum, everyone driving in from West Virginia and in Wheeling, give Senator Joe Manchin a call and tell him to put the bill on a markup, get this memorial built. And everyone out there, please follow Senator Ernst's advice and go and listen to Blood on My Hands. Thank you, Jane Horton. Thank you, Senator Ernst. Let me remind everyone that the show is sponsored by our friends at ReliefFactor.com. I'm going to the mall today. In fact, with the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt, I'm going to do walking on the mall today and stop by the National Gallery, and ReliefFactor.com will be powering that as we zip around the mall. It's an overcast, sort of dreary day, and if it rains, it's always good to have the National Gallery or the Science Museum, or Air and Space doesn't do it for me, but I like natural history, whatever it is, or the National Portrait Gallery, the African American History, or the American Indian Museum. I love going to the mall, but there needs to be a global war on terrorism memorial there, and Relief Factor should be taking me there today. It should take you everywhere on the mall. It should take you wherever you want to go. Go and get Relief Factor at ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started with a 3-week starter pack. $19.95 gets you on the way to feeling great. Come right back after the break. Senator Jim Talent, former senator from Missouri, joins me next on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined by former United States Senator Jim Talent, one of my favorite guests. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Fine, and I love you too, Hugh.
Okay. Let me begin with the story in the Wall Street Journal by Michael Bender. How tight is Trump's grip on the GOP? Take a look at the Ohio Senate primary. It is undeniable that former President Trump has many, 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 many millions of supporters in the United States, and that many of those supporters will follow his recommendations. He also has around him a circle of acolytes who sometimes purport to speak for him, like Boris Epstein and others, who aren't actually speaking for him. Boris is mad at me because I've just given my objective opinion that Eric Greitens from your home state of Missouri will lose that Senate seat if he is the nominee because of the bondage and assault charges, the impeachment, the campaign scandals, all the stuff that goes with Eric Greitens. And Boris Epstein is mad at me. One, how important is a Trump endorsement? Two, what about this satellite group of people who have some association with President Trump who purport to speak for him?
Well, I think Trump's endorsement is important in the same sense that I think endorsements typically are important. They raise the profile of the person endorsed, and they're sort of a powerful piece of evidence in support of that person, assuming you like the endorser, right? But I also think voters then step back and look at candidates and make their own judgment. I would say that about everybody. I've said that when people ask me to endorse them, you know, that anybody who thinks that just because people like Jim Talent they're going to walk into the ballot box and vote for whoever Jim Talent says. I don't think that's right. I think it's a favorable piece of evidence, okay? And in terms of the people around you, President Trump's always had an interesting group around him. People come and go. I think people want to know what Donald Trump thinks, not what somebody around him thinks.
I don't think it can hurt you to be endorsed by anyone unless that person is crazy and a racist, and you don't want them, and you have to affirmatively go out and disavow an endorsement. But acolytes of the president, former president, don't get any traction, I don't think.
I think that underestimates voters, and it's classic for consultants to underestimate voters. I think people who love Donald Trump are going to take everything he says with respect, and they're going to, and it's going to be a powerful, you know, piece of evidence on behalf of whoever he endorses. But I think they're going to make their own judgment.
All right, we talked about this story often, Jim Talent, but I want to raise it with you. Record numbers of Chinese Air Force fighter jets and bombers conducted drills near Taiwan in recent days. This is from this morning's Washington Post, including 38 J-16 fighter jets and a dozen H-6 bombers. What ought we to think about that? What ought we to do about that?
Yeah, I read there was 54 of them. Well, here's what we need to do urgently and in the short term. We need to get more longer-range precision ordnance into Indo-PACOM. So this would be longer-range cruise and ballistic anti-ship missiles. We need to build this missile frigate and get as many of them as we can into Indo-PACOM. We need to harden our ISR and improve it. In other words, we need to do things to strengthen military deterrence in the short term.
Senator Talent, ISR stands for?
Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance. Okay, so in other words, we need the Chinese to think, oh, the Americans have a lot of assets in the region that can strike at our assets were we to attempt some forcible action, including an invasion against Taiwan. And we might not be able to get all of them before, you know, the Americans get us. That's what we need to do in the short term. Longer term, we have to pursue all these technologies that will restore our the strength of our deterrence, including, for example, hypersonics, which I know you've talked to Robert O'Brien about a lot.
Yeah, but I am wondering what needs to be done to make the CCP, and in particular General Secretary Xi, believe that we would actually defend Taiwan were he to move against it.
Well, I would say the same thing, you. See, one of the things I've been saying for some time now is words are not going to make anywhere near as much difference as actions. If they see us preparing to defend Taiwan, they'll believe we will defend Taiwan. So we need to act. I mean, words, you know, and Blinken's been doing some good things. I like AUKUS. That's another thing we need to do, is to show the Chinese that there is a firm coalition of regional powers against them. And I think AUKUS is the best thing I've seen come out of the Biden administration so far. So, I give them credit for that. So those two things, actions, emphasizing our deterrent will and strength.
Then John Kerry went to Paris and apologized on French TV, saying Joe Biden didn't know anything about AUKUS.
Yeah, I can imagine what the top of Ron Klain's head probably came off when he watched that.
That's the president chief of staff. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. This isn't an administration. It's a group of free actors out there like, no valence to Joe Biden's White House.
Right. I don't know how they can put up with that. But, you know, I would imagine that Kerry kind of thinks himself on a par with the president. I mean, he served with him a long time. Kerry probably thinks he should have been president, not Joe Biden. And so he just said what he thought. I wouldn't doubt it's true, though. Would you?
No, I'm not sure the president's up to speed on anything. But I am glad they did AUKUS. That's why I like Jake Sullivan. I want to thank you, Jim Talent, for being here. Senator Talent can be followed on Twitter at from the Bipartisan Policy Center at Jim Talent on Twitter. That's easy enough, at Jim Talent. Come right back, America, but visit Alliance Defending Freedom's banner over at HughHewitt.com during the break. Please contribute and come back for hour three of today's Hugh Hewitt Show. Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt trending as usual on Twitter. I hope, one lefty, Kimberly Johnson, who I've never heard of, but she has got 77,000 followers. She is apparently the host of the Start Me Up podcast and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. So I find that amusing. She writes, it's time for the Washington Post to stop allowing traitors like Hugh Hewitt to spread propaganda and misinformation packaged as conservative opinion. She is reacting to my column in the Washington Post, which went up on the landing page yesterday after the show. Is it time for Dr. Fauci to step aside? This has touched nerves on the far left. I don't know why, but I have a theory. My theory is pretty simple. Dr. Fauci is not a public health official in their eyes. He is a brave hero against Donald Trump. Now, Doc was not Dr. Fauci throughout the first year of COVID. Dr. Fauci was part of the COVID response team. I know this very well because I know a lot of people on the COVID response team very, very well, including Ambassador O'Brien and Alex Azar and Peter Navarro and many, many people very well on that team. And Dr. Fauci was a respected and productive member of the team. Dr. Fauci opposed the travel ban from China. Dr. Fauci wanted to tell the noble lie that masks were not helpful because Dr. Fauci was afraid that masks would vanish from the ERs and hospitals where they were necessary. That's actually the opposite of what Americans did. Fetching Mrs. Hewitt, for example, took every mask we have in the house as a matter of routine preparedness in California and drove them to the local hospital, where they were N95 masks, because that's what Americans do. And so Dr. Fauci has consistently underestimated what Americans do and gets it wrong. And while he does not run the CDC or FDA, I pointed out he's become the face of pandemic response in the United States. And before, as even maybe I'm not sure we can gather by Christmas, which he walked back on Monday, before that, I had interviewed him last week on this show for, I think, the half dozen time. And his unwillingness to even consider that at some point he becomes counterproductive tells me, okay, he's not really living in the zone of reality where public health officials have to live. The most recent screw-up is the allowing by the advisory panels of the CDC and FDA to insert equity considerations at all, into the question of efficacy of boosters. Scientific advisory panels should answer, is the proposed booster efficacious in preventing the virus from reaching hospitalization or death? That's it. Upside and downside from certain science. Instead, some members of those committees brought up and were not overruled the idea that the United States is using too much vaccine. That's not what they're there for. That's virtue signaling. That's politics. And it ought to have been shut down. I asked Dr. Collins directly and Dr. Fauci directly, what about that? Neither of them would condemn the panels. Both said they disagree with that use of the equity argument, but that the panel was not illegitimate. The panel's illegitimate. If you pollute a panel's scientific deliberation with political calculation, you have ruined the result and turned it into intimidation. I like that because it sounded like something Tarzan and Joe would say or Al Sharpton. And therefore, I wrote a column, it is time for Dr. Fauci to step aside. Based on that interview, Dr. Collins, the walk back, everything. Dr. Collins announced he's getting out. He's 80 years old, for goodness sake. It's got nothing to do with Trump, but it has sparked outrage. And I am always amused. The Washington Post is always happy because it generates clicks, right? From angry lefties. And then when the lefties get anger, the Trumpists come out and they go read what got the lefties angry. And it just was wonderful for an op-ed. I love that. But my column in the Post is written by me, for me, for my point of view, and read by millions because I represent most of the 75 million who voted for Donald Trump. And increasingly inside the Beltway and on major news outlets, there is nobody representing President Trump's voters. I voted for him. I had my arguments. I am a sometimes Trumper. What he did for the Supreme Court is his lasting and most enduring achievement, parallel with his achievement of waking America to the menace posed by the Chinese Communist Party, parallel with his Operation Warp Speed initiative that burst through FDA and CDC obstacles to rapid evolution of the virus, very close to his buildup in the military, which was not successful in building the Navy, but did replenish stores and stocks. Donald Trump did a lot of great things, like the right to try legislation like the First Step Act, which some of my conservative friends oppose and some of my Trumpist friends support. So Donald Trump is, like every president, a mixture of great things and not so great things. His post-election presidency was ignoble. His rally on the Mall was misguided. He is not responsible for the 800 lunatics who invaded the Congress, nor those intent on violence. They ought to go to jail, and they're going to go to jail. And but as Mike Pence said a couple of days ago, the attempt to delegitimize the 75 million people by ghosting them from media. And that's what's happening. They're being ghosted. They're being ghosted from network television. They're being ghosted from op-ed pages. They're being ghosted. And in their place, there are never Trumpers. It's remarkable. But this triggering is part of that. This over-response to a rather ordinary op-ed that says what half of America and not a few Democrats agree, time for Dr. Fauci to exit stage left or stage right or just stage front, get off the stage, has come. And that has triggered. Generalissimo alerted this to me. Generalissimo lives for trending. You can follow him at Radio Blogger, by the way. Can we get Radio Blogger to trend? Would you all make up stuff about Radio Blogger and get him to trend? Because he got trend jealousy.
Make up stuff about Radio Blogger. Like, that's
that would
one.
Be a first.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
always
that's
very,
new on this show. Make
like,
stuff
I'm
up.
Very, now, I, since you're there today, which is remarkable, I wanted to
speaking
ask...
Speaking of making stuff up, yes.
Yeah, I want to ask about Mrs. Radio Blogger and Gavin Newsom's edict that
yeah.
all shall be vaccinated.
Yeah.
She is a teacher.
Uh-huh.
So I would like to know, because you never tell me anything that's going on in California. You didn't even tell me there was an oil spill in Orange County.
Well, I was actually there. I actually watched. I was at in Huntington Beach.
Are you responsible? We've got him. Sue him, but not me. He was there. He just announced it. Thank you.
Because
get rid of him.
Because,
turn off his camera, Ben. I want nothing to do with him.
Yes, because I own
a
cargo
gosh.
Ship.
He's responsible for
yes.
this. He admitted it again. Radio Blogger, what did you do? You never pushed the right button.
I watched the air
what,
show.
What, did you hit the wrong button again?
Next to my friend William Shatner.
What?
I was sitting next to William Shatner watching the Thunderbirds.
You two caused the oil spill?
Well, hey, I
you and Shatner?
Shatner, I can't explain everything that Shatner
look,
does.
Look, I'm denying that. I believe that's a libel. Generalissimo is, again, your target for litigation. Make Radio Blogger trend. Having admitted to culpability with William Shatner for the oil spill in Huntington Beach, I believe that is trend-worthy.
If that's not enough to trend, I don't know.
I don't know. That's an admission against interest. You'd better go away before you bankrupt this show. Because there are some people, literally, have no sense of humor in America. Ever. None. You are among them, by the way.
Sense of humor is gone right now.
Sense of humor is gone. Carl is the leading indicator of lack of sense of humor. Carl, the retired house painter who travels 10,000 miles to paint people's houses. Don't you think that's odd, by the way? I'm a little off topic, but I've got Governor Larry Hogan coming up pretty soon. I'll check
Mark. A little off topic, yes.
Well, I just don't you think it's odd that you retire from painting and you move to Texas to retire and then you drive to California and to Colorado to paint your friends' houses?
I'm just trying to guess where the conversation is going to go next.
Well, I would like him to drive to Maine because I got the estimate on painting a house in Maine, and I cannot believe it.
Why can't you? Well, I can.
My brother-in-law lives in Maine, and I saw the estimate to paint a house in Maine.
Who wants to go up to Maine to paint a house?
I think Carl might be willing to do it. You
yeah.
think?
No, I actually don't think.
I think he's in. All right, let me talk about Alliance Defending Freedom.
Maybe in February.
I'm trying to plug a sponsor, and it's the sponsor I love the most. Now, I love all my sponsors. I love the Salvation Army. I love Food for the Poor. I love Prison Fellowship. I love them all. I love Relief Factor and Birch Gold. I love AndrewandTodd.com. I love them all. But I am committed to Alliance Defending Freedom because they protect them all. They protect my ability to speak freely on the radio and joke if I want. In fact, if any lunatic sued me, I'm sure ADF would step up. If any lunatic sues you because you are saying a prayer at your city council, they'll defend you like they defend the town of Greece in New York, and they will win. If you're a preschool that's being discriminated against because you're a Lutheran preschool, they will defend you, and they will win. But Alliance Defending Freedom wins 13 out of 14 at the Supreme Court in the last decade. They win because of you. because you go to HughHewitt.com, you wait for the Alliance Defending Freedom banner to appear at the top, and you give them $100 or $500 or $1,000 if you can afford it, or more if you can afford more. You support Alliance Defending Freedom for the same reason I answer the call when anybody asks me to step up on behalf of the free exercise of religion, because that is the backbone of the United States Bill of Rights. It's the first freedom. Go and support Alliance Defending Freedom at HughHewitt.com and come right back. The Hugh Hewitt Show continues.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.